Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening everybody, or should I say good afternoon, whatever time you're listening to this. It's Penny Quayle Pierce and Matthew Donaghy, and we're discussing today, on today's show, how to grow your private practice. You know, you may be a counsellor, a coach, a practitioner, or a psychotherapist. You've qualified, you're insured, you have a room, and now it's time to attract clients. So starting your own practice is exciting and challenging, and we'll be discussing on the show you know, things that will motivate and inspire you to take the necessary actions to attract clients and build a successful private practice to be proud of. You know, how do you get started quickly on budget? No website is necessary. How to build a business offline, and that's the most important thing, building your business offline. And how do you manage those nagging fears or worries that hold you back? How do you become visible and attract clients in a way that it feels right for you? So no sales techniques are required. And we'll be discussing much more about and giving you expertise and guidance, you know, from two people who are experts in their own field. So I really hope you enjoy the show. And I'm just going to hand over to Matthew so he can say good evening.
So hello, everybody, or good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're listening from. Yeah, it's really good show. Got lots to pack in. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one because, again, just going through the direct experience myself, it's really interesting just what to take on from what you hear and actually when to go with how you feel around things, because, yeah, it's a really interesting subject. I'm sure a lot of people are going through a similar thing at the moment. I know a couple of my clients are, so it's very relevant at this time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's a lot of people out there who have decided to retrain or maybe refocus in their lives, and you know, that's a worrying decision at the beginning, I think. You know, will all of the training that you've done or the courses or workshops or seminars actually start to pay off? And will you be able to, one, build a private practice, but also attract the clients that you need in order to make yourself successful and not in debt, but actually attracting the right people at the right time, so that you can serve them in a really profound way, which is what brings the love of being self-employed and having a private practice, but also so that you can pay the bills and make sure that you're living a good lifestyle, so you're not always chasing your tail or not always chasing clients. So it's, as I said, one of the most important things to remember is how to build this private practice offline. People get sucked in and distracted by all of the fancy tech, needing to have a all singing, all dancing website, and you know, all sorts of different tech things like, do I need an app? Do I need to be on social media? Do I need to, you know, have a presence? Yes, later on in your practice, but when you first start your practice, the most important thing is to obviously start seeing clientele, obviously start seeing your coaching clients, or, you know, your psychotherapy clients, or your Reiki clients, whatever it is that you are beginning to practice. It's really important to start attracting people. And most of that is done by word of mouth. It's getting out there and obviously using the people that you know, or the again, depending what training you've done, whether it's a counselling training, a coaching training, a Reiki training, whatever it is, who were your colleagues on your training course? And it's looking at them and usually pulling things together so that you can keep in touch with those people that you trained with, and making sure that you go then to the next bigger organization that you trained with, and looking at networking and beginning to network. So networking, when I talk about networking, yes, networking, it may well be going to a networking breakfast or a get-together with colleagues or fellow practitioners, and starting to talk about what you do. And beginning to get a feel and a spiel that you can give in a minute or 2 minutes of what is it that you are passionate about in your private practice. So looking at your, you know, this is beginning, these are the first steps, obviously, is finding out, you know, and I think one of the things, and Matthew is very good at this, he gets across to people very quickly and easily that what he does and what he is passionate about. And if you go into a networking meeting and you're talking from your boots and you're mumbling and you're just going, oh, well, yeah, I just help people. That's not what you, how you need to approach a networking session. You know, it's what you do. Are you a counsellor, a coach, a practitioner, a psychotherapist? What is it that you actually do? And what makes you passionate about doing it? What is it that you can bring to your clients which is uniquely you? Okay, so the trouble is when we start, we have a tendency to say we want to help people. But it's actually finding out, how do you want to help people? And what can you bring to the table that's unique? So, you know, an awful lot of business people will start talking to you about finding your niche. Who are the people that you would like to attract into your practice? And you don't, you know, the first time someone talks to you about niches, and they'll basically say, you know, is it entrepreneurs, is it, you know, women, is it men, is it this type of, you know, especially with counselors, is it grief counseling, is it anxiety counseling, is it eating disorders? You know, it's actually finding out, and you usually find out what you're passionate about, because it has been a challenge in your own life. So it's looking at it, you know, I started my private practice. When I first started my private practice, it was very much working with people who had suffered from abuse, who had were survivors from rape, who, you know, were very much dealing with their own stuff around trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, you know, which is a flavour that runs through my life. And I've helped, I started my practice by focusing on those areas in which I had my own expertise and something that I could offer to the actual client. So in when you first start off, you know, do what you know. And then as you grow your business, you may decide that you're very passionate about helping another group of people, and you can widen your niche. So starting off with a niche is a, what I call a seedling niche. And that seedling is just what sparks you and makes you passionate. So I just wanted to give Matthew a chance to add his bit to this, because I know he's also looked at this and has some good expertise.
Yeah, thanks. Really interesting listening, because I think the one thing very much that was vital for me at the start was going out and networking and talking to people. And I've always been very simple when it comes to explanations or being told things. I like things just very simplified, because I think so many people talk too much, and it was one of the sort of things I told myself at the start is, it had to look a certain way, and I had to write a certain way and present a certain way, because to be seen professional. But what I was finding is actually by trying to make it professional, I was losing the personality within that, which was, I like fast and effective and very simple. And it's like, why beat around the bush? Just tell me what it is and what it does. One of the things I find interesting about advertising these days is most of the advertising you see, or especially on TV, is completely irrelevant to the actual product. And you watch 30 seconds of something that's irrelevant. So I'm very quick and effective. And I found that within networking, I found it really easy to just connect with people. And even if that person wasn't interested in your service, I guarantee they'll know someone that is. And I've gained just as much, just as many clients from people that weren't interested in what I do. However, they recommended somebody that was, because especially working within sort of mental health and with PTSD and all the stuff that Penny and I work with, and all of the practitioners from Acorns who I work with, there's such a wide variety, whether it's physical pathologies or sort of mental health issues, or even just excelling with our coaching packages. But it's people have this sort of a, for want of a better expression, I've got a bit lost here. I lost my track. So it's really just being yourself, and keep it simple and be yourself, and just put yourself out there, because nobody else can offer the service that you do, because nobody will do it the way that you do. And I think at the start, I was, a lot of people tell you what they think you should do from a business point of view. And a lot of what I was being told just didn't seemed to resonate. And what I found worked at the very start was connecting with people, but being very sort of short with my explanation, because the work we do is very deep. And people can almost get lost if you talk to them a bit too much. So I found save that for the presenting and the talks that you'll do later on, but concentrate on what works. So you want to get out and meet people and connect with different people, because the more networks you can connect with, you'll find you'll meet lots of different people, and it just gets you out there, business cards, flyers, that sort of thing. And it's the mistake a lot of people make. They first thing they think is, right, well, I need a website. And it's kind of like, you may have people stumble across you, but unless you're extremely well known because you've already excelled in the field, or you have a sort of a celebrity status, if you haven't got the footfall coming into your social media already that you can flip into your website, you could spend thousands on a website, and actually that money would be a lot more useful just in printing leaflets, getting out there. And also, a lot of people feel uncomfortable presenting, so networking's really good for that. If it's like, oh, well, I've never spoken. One of the hardest things for people to do, one of the people's biggest fears, is public speaking. And I think everybody gets nervous, but networking's really good just for getting into meeting more people, being in really varied situations, varied personalities, professions, that sort of thing. So when you start going out and maybe doing some shows or some presentations, some speeches, it makes the transition real easy. So it's using what works at the start, which will then almost get you ready for the next stage, which for me was very much getting out, doing some talks, doing some shows, and really expanding that way. Because then for me, it was working within the shows that we're doing. They do have a holistic approach, but they're not love and light. So it's fine for me. It was very much finding the right kind of places to be, because although there's a holistic approach and a spiritual side to what we do, there's also a huge science side, and that's where I sort of fit in. I've never been love and light, and I'd rather be science based and fact based, and that's why I think I impact when I do speeches, because I tell it how it is. I don't mince my words. I'm not afraid to say it how it is, because the way I see it is, you're always going to have people that love what you say, and you're always going to have people that disagree with what you say, and so why worry about what you say? Try not to swear, be polite, and it's fair game then. So for me, it is about sort of being yourself and getting out there, and don't be afraid to be yourself. So we're going into a break, and we'll continue this on the other side.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, it's Penny and Matthew again. I can remember really, you know, at the beginning of starting my private practice, I thought I had to be the professional, you know, with a capital P. And, you know, very much had to be a certain way, quite serious, professional, or I wouldn't be taken seriously myself. And very much we call this the imposter syndrome. Because actually what you're selling is not yourself, and therefore you find it difficult to approach people. And when I realised that all I had to do, as Matthew was mentioning earlier on, is to be myself, you know, I laugh too loudly, I have a rude sense of humour, and I can be a bit sweary, as Matthew was mentioning, don't swear too much. But what I realised was, as soon as I started being Penny, then people got me. And they bought into what I was teaching. And they definitely wanted what I had in life. And as soon as you start doing that, people really begin to listen to you. And you begin to establish yourself as an expert in your field. You know, for me, I've got a great honour of being an expert in the field of energetics and spirituality. And, you know, people come from all over the world to work with me, which is fantastic. But it's really beginning to be who you are. And as soon as you are who you are, authentically, that's when your clients come. And they literally will come out of the woodwork. And as soon as you start building your clients, you know, to have a really successful private practice, all you need is 20 people. Yeah? And those 20 people, if they're seeing you regularly once a month, and you will have a successful practice. Now, I've had different private practices. I've had a private practice in London. I've had a private practice. I then moved and built up another private practice in Farnham in Surrey. Then I built another one in New Milton. And this year I'll be building a new one in Bude in Cornwall. But you still take a good 25% of your clients who will move with you. And, you know, they will travel up to 2 to 3 hours to come and see you. Because you are their go-to person. Okay? So when you're out there at the beginning, and I've done this many times where I've gone to different meetings maybe business meetings, and people take your cards and you think, well, you go home and you feel a little bit dispirited and you think, oh God, nothing will come of that. And then what happens is a couple of months later, someone may get in contact with you from that meeting. And you just sort of think, ah, right, okay. And they become a regular client. People worry about stupid things when they're building their private practice. They worry about the number of similar practitioners there are in the same road. And I look at it and laugh and I go, yes, what about Harley Street in London, where you have all of the consultants, all of the medical consultants in the same road. And they all are attracting huge amounts of clients. Because it is known as a centre of excellence. So don't worry about how many counsellors or how many homeopaths or coaches or practitioners are in the same town as you. Because actually what that brings up is everybody's awareness in that town that there is this service. So again, don't worry about competition. The more competition there is, the more you can charge for your services. So again, I just wanted to debug that one. And it's really important to, you know, after going out and doing networking, is to follow up. Whether that person is not in your industry or not, just follow up saying, you know, if you've got their business card, it's just a case of, it was great to meet you, yakka, yakka, yakka. Hope we meet again at some other occasion, or maybe catch up for coffee. Because these people, even though they may not want your services, have a whole network of people who they can refer you on to, or actually give you different clients, or say, yes, I know somebody who could really do with this. Okay? So it's again, you know, it's looking at what works for you. And as I said, you know, building your business offline at the beginning is so important, and I will reiterate this time and time again over the show, because if there's something I really want to get into your head, is don't distract with all of the shiny stuff. Whereas in fact what you need to be doing is getting out there and talking to people, and that's how you actually attract people into your practice. I just wanted to talk for 5 minutes. I went skiing last week, and again I was on an aeroplane with, obviously there's a few hundred people there, going through airports, doing all sorts of different stuff and talking to people. And I happen to have in my handbag a few of my cards. And I actually gave out probably about 15 cards during that that travelling phase. And two people have already contacted me within a week. Okay. So it's literally, you know, I don't go and mug people, by the way, and say, sit down and listen to me. It's just general conversations when you're waiting for in line for stuff and, you know, hi, how are you? And actually beginning to chat to people, because we forget that in our normal lives, an awful lot of people don't get a chance to talk, and they don't get a chance to talk about their story or talk. And if you give them that option, so that a little bit about themselves, people are really then interested and will listen to what you have to say to them. And, you know, it's, again, it's so important in building a business to just to start to learn to be comfortable chatting to people and actually saying to them, not in a salesy way, just chatting like you chat to a friend over a cup of coffee. You know, the one thing that puts me off when I'm dealing with people is when they're too in your face. And I'm sure you would say the same things, is when people are too in your face, then actually you're completely and utterly turned off by their approach and their behavior. However, if you learn to be a chatter, and Matthew and I are both great chatters, you know, if you learn to be a chatter, what you do is you form relationships with people. And what you do over that, forming that relationship, is what will happen is they will be on your side. So even if they don't want your services, they will start thinking about people in their lives that they could refer on to you. You know, if you, you know, again, people don't worry about making personal disclosures and saying, you know, a little bit about their own lives. But what actually that does is build trust. And, you know, if you're concentrated on helping other people, and, you know, this experience in my life has helped me realize how many other people are going through a similar experience. And I'm passionate about helping it, making it easier for them to deal with this issue. And if you talk from that point of view, then you're going to connect, you know, 100%. You know, you're not there to sell them anything. You're there to be yourself and inspire them to want to make a change for themselves. So again, handing back to Matthew, I'm, you know, as I said, I'm a great chatter.
No, I think it's such an important
let's hope Matthew's there.
Hello, can you hear me?
Maybe he's not. Okay, so I will keep chatting. And hopefully Matthew will come back to me, or maybe Chris can get back to me and say that I'm on, still on the call,
yeah,
or not.
If you can let me know, I'm ready to go.
So looking at the next thing, it's just, as I said, we were building relationships and making sure that we can get on with what's going on. As I just check a personal whether I'm connected or not. So just give me a minute here just to check with the everything else. You know, again, in business, people.
Right, I'm going to go ahead and talk.
And then obviously joining different groups. And making sure everything is okay. Sorry about this. As I was just saying, I was just checking some technically actually on the call or not. So it's looking at your message and the way that you want to communicate what you do, and how you help your clients at critical for critical times in their lives. You know, your message needs to be memorable.
Okay, sweet.
But usually
lovely.
When you're doing that from a place of personal integrity, then that is great. So it's just looking at what is going on and what is important. in your message and writing it down, practicing it a few times, you know, maybe doing getting completely an okay with what you're actually saying, and doing all sorts of different stuff which will enhance that. So it may be a 2 or 3 minute sort of writing it down first, practicing it, making sure that it's humorous, something that's vaguely outstanding, and making sure that you can get that across to your audience, whoever that be, whether that be at a networking session or whether it be giving a talk, something that has a clear and easy description of what you actually do. So that's important. And finally, you know, one piece of subject is don't use jargon, don't use professional jargon. Because if you do use professional jargon, you're going to lose your audience and lose the people who are very much part of who you're trying to attract. You know, I was a medic for some time, and we used to speak in jargon most of the time, purely so that nobody else could understand us, I reckon. But, you know, it's not a good thing when you're actually trying to attract people into your practice. So, again, it's just looking at what you're doing. So, yeah, again, an elevator's pitch, you know, they talk about elevator pitches at networking meetings. You know, it needs to be about 60 seconds to a minute and a half. Maximum, so that you can get out, you know, who are you, what do you do, and something that is inspiring in that. So that is really important. And when you go, you know, engagement, when you are going to a networking meeting, you know, don't stand in the corner and expect people to attract you. You know, listening to people, engaging 100% is really important. You know, it's, you know, try asking questions to find out something about somebody else. Don't, you know, think that you're the person who's got to talk all of the time. Think, you know, where are you based? You know, what type of events do you go to? You know, to be an effective network. Prepared to take
it. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey, so welcome back. So just carrying on from what I was talking earlier, it's be genuine is probably the biggest bit of advice I would give you. A lot of people fall into the delusion that they have to sell what they do, and the emphasis has to be on the product or what they're actually selling. But what people are actually more interested in is who you are and where you come from and your ethics. And if people get the sense of who you are and really connect with you, they're far more likely to do business with you, whether they want your product or your service or not. And it's something that I just found really effective when talking to people, was very much like as Penny was saying earlier, is just be yourself, because there can be 1,000 people that are all selling the same product or the same service, but if they're not doing it in the genuine way that you are, they won't attract the clients that you do. And people smell out hard sell from a mile away. And again, people can get fixated on, and it can be passion, but it's misdirecting your passion. So yes, you have a passion to succeed and to get out and to put your business out there and financially gain from it, but when you actually roll it back to why you started doing what you're doing in the first place, it was probably because you wanted to help people. So it's keeping the vision aligned with your passion, and for me that helped me really focus on just being myself and putting it out there. So I wasn't necessarily worried about telling people all the services I do. So that would be the Reiki, the coaching, it's breathwork practitioner, it's using NLP, but very much I put myself out there. I'm an action therapist, so I run a bespoke action therapy clinic, and it's very simple, because a lot of people have very different needs, even working with people with PSD. You have to be able to adjust, and very much for me it's about listening to the client and going on what the client's going through, rather than what my training is necessarily based on, because everybody's needs are different. So what works for 10 clients may not necessarily work for another few. So it's always being flexible with how you put yourself out there. So I wasn't trying to be specific. I that's exactly what I do, because I found it resonated with a lot of people. Said, well, I think it could help so many different people in so many different fields. You almost can't keep yourself small. So for me it was about keeping it simple, but being genuine and actually saying that whether you're a high-flying entrepreneur and it's you're trying to take your business from something that earns a couple of hundred million a year up to the sort of big time, and it doesn't matter whether you're small and you just want to deal with your emotional stuff. So everybody has different needs, and if you try to be too specific at the start, the niche markets don't necessarily, or they didn't necessarily work for me at the start. I found when I was focusing just on one thing, it just wasn't coming in. And so for me, knowing what I do, it was very much, okay, well, there's no point flogging a dead horse. And if it's not working, don't spend your time on it. Don't spend the time procrastinating, because I did a lot of that myself at the start. It was, oh, it's because you're fearful of maybe putting yourself out there and giving talks or going to a network meeting. You can almost procrastinate and spend loads of time worrying or thinking about doing it, and actually you could have done something with that time. So again, just being real focused with what you want to say and what you want to put out there, and just keep it simple. I got a little hooked up earlier. I lost my way because I'd written so much down that I got lost with where I was, and then I couldn't find where I was on the page. So keep it simple and you'll come across genuine, and we all muck up. So if you do make a mistake in a networking meeting, don't think, oh, that didn't go very well, or maybe I won't go to another one. I had a few networking meetings at the start and they were a little bit awkward, and I don't know if I'm getting the responses because I was handing out cards and speaking to people. And it's almost as if we expect something straight away, and sometimes we do get calls. As Penny said, you can hand cards out and have responses within days. But then there'd be a couple of meetings that I went to and I didn't sort of hear back. And there was one meeting I couldn't decide whether to go, and it was, I was procrastinating again. And I just said, right, you're procrastinating, stop it, make a decision what you're going to do. I went to that networking meeting where they had the chance to give a 3-minute talk. By giving that 3-minute talk, I've attracted 6 private clients, 1 magazine article, and 2 contacts, one which I'll be collaborating with this year, and also a lady who Penny and I have used her centre for some of the workshops that we've done for the practitioner course. So it's, again, it's really interesting just how much you can get from one meeting. And if I bought into the stories and thought, oh, well, maybe I'll miss this one out because, well, it doesn't really matter because the others haven't gone particularly well. And, well, 2 may not have gone may not have seemed as though they'd gone well at the time. But then everything opens up, and what you have one that goes really well, and it would just give you the inspiration to keep going, because it's real easy to sort of get to put ourselves down, and we maybe do a show and we don't attract as many people as we hoped for. And something Penny and I did a lot of shows when we were promoting sort of Reiki courses and the foundation courses and that sort of thing. We were running a lot of shows years ago, and it was just so amazing that I think it was the second show that I did with Penny, I was kind of like, oh, it's really, we haven't been that busy today, and I thought we could really connect with someone. And then the next person that got on the couch went through what could only be described as a life-changing experience. And it was kind of like, you know what, if we were only there for that one guy, that was well worth it. And so you can, but it's easy to get into the, oh, well, because you're not perceiving it to be going well, doesn't mean behind the scenes it isn't. So walking away from that networking meeting, I thought, well, yeah, that it went better than the last one. But the journalist didn't tell me that they were interested. The clients didn't initially say, oh, yeah, I'm really, really interested. People said, oh, that's really inspiring. What you're doing is amazing. And obviously everyone takes your card. But unless someone directly says, right, I would like to book an appointment, you can't gauge at the start whether they're interested or not. And we tend to think, oh, well, because they said they weren't. A lot of people like to reflect on what people have told them, and especially if they're coming to you for coaching or therapy or whatever it is you're offering, that's when they would actually like to come to you privately. So you're far more likely to get a phone call the next day saying, really appreciated the chat last night. Could we have a further chat? And as Penny said, maybe go for a coffee. And that's where you can really start expanding on your relationships and your personal network. So it's, don't be afraid to be different, and sell who you are just as much as what you do. Because I've always found I've never responded to hard sale, and I find if people use hard sale, the more they use it, the more I want to step back. And I'm sure I do energetically when they do it, because people see it a mile off, and it's just not a nice sell. So yeah, that's very much what I did at the start, and it worked for me. So you really try and drill down what you want to get across and try and make it really sharp. Obviously, if you're coming from the other side and you're getting out and you're doing the talks, it's very much about gaining credibility for me. One thing I found is once you've gained your first set of clients, it's use those clients just as much as they're using your service. So if you're starting out and you're worried about, well, I haven't really got a big testimonials list, that sort of thing, it's use the clients that you've got and really, really make the effort to journal and keep all your information on what's happened in each session. But I get quite anal about notes, because what I find really interesting is when you pull out a file and you show your client the file after 6 months and they've got a log of information, they want to do more work with you because they see how much effort you're putting in.
Absolutely massive.
For me, it's kind of like I love working with people that want to work, because they inspire you to want to work harder for them and yourself. And when you find yourself in a position like that, you realize, wow, I'm doing what I'm meant to do, because my clients are inspiring me just as much as they say I'm inspiring them. So something's working there, and it just works. So when you can really tweak and look at what works for you and how to expand and always looking on moving forwards, it's almost easy. Don't get me wrong, you have to put in the work, you have to put in the time, you have to get out there and be seen and network and spend a lot of time on the phone initially for me, but you find once it's just a little bit of work, really. We're not talking you're slogging yourself away. This is actually, when you look back, you'll be able to say, actually, that was really easy. And that's when you know you're onto a good thing and you're being genuine, because things will just come in easily. And if they're not, don't keep going and slogging and slogging and slogging. Just take a breath and step back and look to see if you could get the same result taking a different path. If something's not, it's that Einstein, don't keep doing the same behavior and expecting a different result. Fortunately, Edison did that with the light bulb, otherwise we wouldn't have them if we hadn't tried that many times. But we're talking business, so it's very much about use different avenues. So don't always think, oh, well, if the networking's not working for you, there are definitely other avenues. So look at local networking, getting yourself out. I'm sure you have this in America as well. Local groups, so your local town, your local village, your local county, whatever it is, find a group of people that, for want of a better word, a community of people. Where you can share what you do and what they do. Really popular over in the UK, especially with childcare and that sort of thing. Most of the childcare that happens within the UK is done over small family network groups between different cities and different towns, because people really resonate with it, because they can go on and they can search people and they can automatically see different families that they've worked for, and they really, people really resonate with that for that service. So that's something you do, look at that, look at all sorts of different things, even if you don't think that would suit your business, research it. Because again, what I found was very much within the, although I work with emotions and we're doing emotional work and spiritual growth and sort of personal evolution, I also work with business people and very sciencey people as well. So look into those different groups, because you may think that the science is not interested, but actually they resonate just as much. So get out there and be seen.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening. I'm sorry I had technical problems during the call, but have a really great week and we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, take care.
Take care, everybody. We'll speak to you next week.